to be a father, to be able to step outside of yourself and analyze things and why am I feeling this way, to understand yourself is powerful for sure.
That has saved me so many times where I'm just like, get your damn shoes on.
So the big question is this: how do regular dads like us, who weren't given a playbook on parenting, who only have 24 hours in a day to make it all happen, how do we provide for our families in a way that will allow us to raise happy, successful children and have a thriving marriage while still being a man and doing the things we love? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. This is Rad Dad Secrets.
All right, all you rad dads out there, we got a special treat. We are sitting here with Frank Lavenia, and want to get to know him a little bit and dive into his story here. So we like to start off with a favorite quote. Jefferson and I both love quotes, find them super inspirational. So what is your favorite quote?
Ooh, about fatherhood or just in general?
In general, in general.
This quote is probably from Hunter Thompson, and I don't know if it's in the book, but it's definitely in the movie, and he has said it on other occasions. It's basically anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Beautiful. So with the risk of sounding naive, who's Hunter Thompson?
Hunter S. Thompson is an author that was probably defined, I wouldn't say he defined counterculturalism, but he basically was very known for his countercultural type of writing. He kind of pioneered the idea of gonzo journalism, where you write about something as you participate through something. Probably the most famous for most people is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That movie was based on a book, which not really a family-friendly movie. So, but
that's all right. There's a lot of movies my kids can't and won't see, but that I enjoy thoroughly.
Right.
So that's okay. We're gonna keep our sanity somehow.
Exactly.
Frank, let's get to know you a little bit. So give us a brief, detailed history on becoming a father. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how many kids you have, etc. So
sure. So I have two wonderful boys, 4 and 9.
Okay.
And being a dad was something I always wanted to do. I think it was always assumed,
right,
that I would do that. But, you know, as I got, you know, my first son was born when I was 36.
Okay.
And it, you know, it's been kind of, it was kind of like a meandering journey to fatherhood. I don't know how deep you want to go, but basically, I grew up in New York City, in and around New York City. And one day I got this new job at this really cool company, at least I thought. It got bought by a German company, which in one day they said, hey, you're moving to Germany.
Oh, wow.
You know, or you can leave. So I was like, oh, I'll go to Germany. I'll try it out. I was single, no kids and all that.
Perfect.
And lived there for a while. It was awesome. Then I came back to the States, back to New York City, and I can laugh about it now, but I signed my lease on my my apartment that was 5 blocks from the World Trade Center on September 2nd, 2001.
Oh my gosh!
What? I moved to New Jersey with my parents on September 12th. Yeah, yeah. I was late for work, actually.
Holy cow!
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, you were right there.
I was right there.
Jeez.
And late for work. Hadn't, you know, normally, like, my normal routine at the time was, you know, I get up, check my email, and you know, check the news or whatever. But I didn't that morning because I slept in. And then, like, I as I'm walking down the street, I'm like, holy crap, like, what is going on? And then, you know, and I know it sounds absolutely insane, like, to say that, but with all the tall buildings there, you really can't see.
Totally.
Couldn't see the train center. So I didn't know what was going on until I was like 2 blocks away, and I just saw that there was a fire, and I was like, oh, it's just a fire, you know?
Right.
You know, right? Wow. And I was like, at least I have an excuse for being late for work.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well,
that's what's going through my head. So, you know, basically I ran for my life, got caught in a dust cloud and all that. And, you know, as bad as that day was, the following 18 months was horrible. Like,
yeah.
People say, well, you know, people people don't really know about traumatic experiences or whatever. They're like, oh, you know, it was just one day, get over it. I'm like, first off, and I've exercised anyone who's ever said that from my life.
Right.
But when you have PTSD, which I clearly did.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, it's a horrible thing. Like I say, it's interesting, but you know, you live through this thing again and again and again, and it affects every relationship you had. So at the time I was kind of in a serious relationship and that tanked.
Sure. Understandable.
Pretty badly.
Yeah.
Which is good, 'cause she wasn't really sold on the idea of having kids.
Okay.
So probably better that way.
Right.
I can look back now, God, well, how many years has it been now? 18 years later? Jeez.
Yeah.
And be
yeah.
like, you know, I was talking to the co-host of my podcast, because, you know, we're good friends some way back. He didn't know me then, but, you know, I was just like, it's a weird thing, because one of the things that in the healing from PTSD, and PTSD is one of those things, it's kind of like the best you can hope for is kind of living with it and living okay with it. I don't know sure. if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
accepting it. Yeah.
Accepting it, kind of living with it. It's kind of like, you know, like you see somebody who used to be a football player, right? And they have a knee injury, right? Yeah, they can go in and they can operate on it, but there's always, you know, when the weather gets a certain way, certain yeah. bit of humidity, it'll act up. And that's kind of the same thing for me.
Right.
You know, one of the skills that I've kind of developed from that is the ability to kind of just mentally separate from myself and understand why I'm feeling a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm, you know, I can kind of analyze my own emotions and behavior.
Yeah. yeah.
And that has helped a lot, as you know, being a dad, but you know, we get into that.
So. That's cool. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, to be able to go through something like that, when you're going through it, obviously it's like the worst thing ever. And it's not right. until way down the road that you can look back and be like, oh, hey, wait a minute. If it weren't for that, I wouldn't be who I am today. And also just like you just said, to be a father, to be able to step outside of yourself and analyze things and why am I feeling this way, to understand yourself is powerful for sure.
That has saved me so many times where I'm just like, get your damn shoes on. You know, and I kind of have like these like, you know, little triggers in my head where it's like, okay, you know, why did I yell? Why did I snap? Don't always catch myself. My wife will be happy to tell you all the times I don't catch myself.
Right.
But, you know, I do try to catch myself and I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, crack the neck, take a deep breath. Let's start over. Why don't you want to wear the orange shorts today? Like, tell me. And like, you got to have a reason. Like, you're on the floor, you're screaming.
Oh, bloody murder. That's the thing, man. There's not a reason. It's crazy.
Well, irrational.
It is hard, but you know, sometimes they'll be like, you know, you can at least kind of negotiate from them, because you're not coming at it with like, you know, guns blazing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Record a video, but you know, you're not. Oh no,
totally.
Like fists up and like, you know, guns blazing, which I think ordinarily, I think prior to that, I probably would have been that type of dad, just because that I grew up in New York City and you know, not a bad area, not the best area, but
I love New York City, just for the record.
Awesome.
That's one of my favorite places on earth. So.
It's a cool place.
So you were always destined to be a father. Mm-hmm. So as you're going through this, what, I mean, you're destined to be a father. What, when you're having your kids, what was your hope? Like, what were you hoping to be able to accomplish the most by being a dad?
Not raise psychopaths.
Boom.
Cause you know, especially I have two boys and, you know, you don't want them to be pushovers, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want them to be like psychopaths either, right? So, you know, I got bullied a lot as a kid, you know, and like you have to, I don't know, it's hard to draw that line of shielding them from stuff versus yeah. kind of like sitting on the sidelines and like not shielding them, you know, let them yeah. work through their own problems. And that's, I mean, for me, that's a hard thing because like, you know, you know, some things will happen at school and I'll be like, you know, my wife calls it, you know, taking out my inner Jersey or inner New Yorker, you know, and, you know, which I've learned thanks to, you know, healing from PTSD to kind of, you know, mellow out and kind of think about what it is I'm trying to accomplish before I, you know, yell first, ask questions later.
Right. Right. No, totally. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying. Like, it made you who you were today. I mean, and part of the being bullied as a kid,
right,
some of that made you who you were today and gave you some of the strengths that you are using today to be where you're at. So
there's a podcast I just discovered recently and I've been binge listening like crazy because I drive sometimes a lot for work.
Which one is it?
The Ed Milet Show.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that one.
He's
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and he has a thing. Life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. And like, I'm like, you know, sitting thinking about that. And because, you know, I live in the DC area, so I'm always stuck in the Beltway.
Right.
So I have a lot of time to think. And practice, you know, not getting stressed out. You know, I've been binge listening to that quite a bit lately, actually. So, but I mean, I think there's a lot of truth that life happens for you and makes you who you are. Are there things that, you know, happened when I was a kid that, you know, I wish I didn't go through? Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody has that, but that made me who I am. And I think you go through those, you make these decisions of, you know, I mean, at least for me, I found myself 3 years ago. Basically finding out I was going to get laid off. I was another one of those situations where your job's moving. And you can come with us or go there or leave. And, you know, now I had kids, I had a wife, I had a mortgage, I had dogs. You know, I really thought about it and I talked it over with my wife and just decided to say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks. And, you know, choosing family first. And it's easy to say family first, right? Everybody says, oh, family first, but to actually do that. And I guess you could say that I am someone who's fairly driven in my career. So to make that decision, I knew it was the right thing to do. And usually the right thing to do is not the easy thing to do. Making that decision. And, you know, one of the things I realized was I was the same age my dad was when he started having a lot of troubles, you know, finding work and stuff like that. And, you know, work in technology. Some people say there's an ageism problem in IT technology. I wouldn't say it's, I think it's definitely there. So that was in the back of my mind. And that sheer terror of always being a provider. And suddenly having that taken away. And this was, you know, a job I expected to have for another 5-10 years, like not kind of be thrown into it. And that was stressful. And so I kind of had this realization pretty early on, I guess, thanks to the PTSD.
There you go. Therapy
and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, you know what? Because, you know, seeing my father kind of go through that and kind of having to like, job insecurity and things like that, and having to kind of retrain himself. I really looked up to my dad. My dad was awesome, but that was the one thing where he didn't do right. I don't know. It sounds like terrible to say, but.
Our kids are going to be able to say the same thing about us.
I know.
And you just hope they respond to it in the same way, right? Being like, okay, I see that wasn't right, that my dad did that. I'm going to do it differently and do it the right way, right?
Right. No, exactly. And it's like, you know, and my dad and his dad had a very horrible relationship, you know, and, you know, he grew up in an orphanage. I mean, and he would have been born around the turn of the last century. Orphanages, I don't know what they are like now, but back then they were pretty cruel places.
Right.
So I get why he doesn't have any empathy. He didn't have any empathy. Like, it was just not part of his makeup. And
right.
He probably had PTSD too.
Sure. It's
kind of weird, like, because he fought in World War II and he would never talk about it. But every once in a while, something would come out and then he'd like talk about it. And then he would, you know, have a drink and kind of disappear. But like, having gone through my own kind of miniature version of PTSD or whatever, but
we're not so miniature, right?
We're not so miniature. Yeah. Right. I mean, I get that. Like, it's weird. Like, as I become an adult, there were things my dad did. And I'm like, what? Like, why? And as I get older, I'm like, oh, I kind of get that now. It's like, it's almost like we're on this, getting metaphysical here, but we're on this journey of kind of self-discovery. And as you get older, you change roles, you kind of change your perspective. And that's been very, I don't know, like every once in a while, I spend a lot of time in the Beltway trying to not get stressed, and I have these deep thoughts.
Right.
But, you know, he didn't handle that job transition thing really well. And that was always something I never understood, because this was the guy who told me, like, get an education, get a good job, stay on top of things. Like, but he didn't practice what he preached. So I'm like, you know, I never understood that. So I kind of had this moment where, you know, I'm laid off. I my technology skills were kind of geared very, very specific and very niche, not what they are now, which is very much in demand, thank God. I said, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm going to try and make this entire thing about being a better person. Yeah, getting another job and all that, and kind of retooling and retraining and just kind of being a better person. And I felt that because I started there, I think I managed to be a better dad through that, and be a better husband, and be just a better person. I mean, because, you know, one of the things I realized I had to do is I had to kind of, the world went JavaScript, and I don't want to bore your listeners with like tech god gobbledygook, but I was a Silverlight developer.
Okay.
And most, if you know what Silverlight is, you're probably chuckling to yourself right now. If you don't, there's a reason why you don't know. And it basically kind of died. Very painful death.
Gotcha.
And so I was an expert in that, wrote a book, blah, 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 blah. But so when I found myself in that situation of not doing, you know, being able to get a job, I, you know, when it came to Windows Phone, writing apps for Windows Phone, I knew that really well. need I say more? But so I realized what I need to do is I need to become a better person because of this, you know, not dwell on the past, not dwell out on fair this was, but be a better person and figure out, you know what, I don't know jack about some things, and I know some things really well, but if I focus and stay focused on that. So it was weird because I was able to, you know, we cut back on kind of like aftercare for the kids, you know. So I was able to spend more time with my older son. And, you know, he would sit with me playing video games while I took my classes and certifications and study for that. And I mean, all in all, I like to think I set a good example for them, you know, because kids don't, they don't really hear what you say, but they hear what you do.
Yep.
You know, and I'll tell you this, this is the best thing. This actually almost brought bring a tear to my eye, right? So my son comes in the car, I pick him up from school, and he's like, oh my God. I'm like, what? He goes, we got recorders today, which is those flutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what recorders
fourth
are.
Fourth grade, right?
Third grade, but yeah.
Third grade. Yeah. Okay. It's fourth grade out in California.
Okay. So when he said recorders, all I can think about is the South Park episode. Right. And yeah, you're laughing. So you probably know the general plot of that. I'm like, okay, don't talk about the South Park episode. Don't talk about that.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, well, what's the problem with that? You get to learn an instrument. What's the big deal? He goes, like, I have time for that. Like, and he started listing off all the things he's doing. Like, I have time for that. And my first thought was, dude, are you serious? Like, you're never going to have this much free time in your life again. Like, I don't. But then I know, right? I kind of caught myself, because I think by nature, I kind of have a smart mouth. And I've learned over time to kind of filter that out. So he had basically was given this whole tirade. I'm like, listen, you know what? The only thing that's, you know, not everyone's rich, not everyone's poor. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and the homeless guy down the street, and, you know, the guy working for minimum wage, they all have one thing in common. They all have 24 hours in a day. Right. And I was like, you know what? The biggest lie people tell themselves, they don't have time. They have time. You know, money's not evenly distributed. Talent's not evenly distributed. Looks, personality, you name it. Nothing is. The only thing that is time, right? And it's how you use that time. And then he kind of thought I was yelling at him, but I was like, I'm not. He goes, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just telling you, like, you know, you shouldn't lie at all. But for God's sake, never lie to yourself, you know, because you have to live with yourself, and you know, only you know what's in your mind, in your conscious, in your heart, in your soul, whatever word you want to put on that. But you always have to live with yourself, right? For the rest of your life. Now, what happens after that? I mean, that's anyone's guess, but I think we all can agree we all have to live with ourselves. And if you tell yourself that, you know, you can't, I mean, everybody has the same amount of time. So, you know, if you don't want to do it, just tell me you don't feel like doing it. Don't say you don't have time. So, you know, I go on that, and then he's, you know, he kind of looks at me skeptical, as kids will do. Like, oh, you know, I remember giving that eye roll of like, yeah, oh, right.
Been there, done like, that.
And I was like, I was like, you know what? I'm not just talking trash to you, right? Look at me. Look what I did. Because in the last 30 months or so, I got like 47 certifications.
Ooh, man.
Right? So like in data science, artificial intelligence, math, stuff like that. Stuff I hate. Trust me. I hated math as a kid. It's only like now I'm an adult. Like, oh. And part of, I think, why people hate math is the way it's taught. But that's a whole other rant for another day. So I told him, it's like, you know, and I was like, and I did that when I had you and your brother. I had, you know, the house, the dogs, right? I had all that. I even had a job for a good chunk of that time too. I, you know, did some, you know, odd job consulting, tried to start a business. I, you know, if I had told myself that I didn't have time, I wouldn't have that. And I wouldn't be where I am today, where I am very satisfied or proud of what I'm doing in my career right now. So, yeah. You know, so, you know, then we moved on to other topics and stuff like that, as you do. And like, lo and behold, like 2-3 months later, I get a paper. He gives us his school papers home, and I'm looking through it. And he's always proud to show off his A's and stuff. He's a smart kid. And, you know, so I'm looking through it, and there was this whole thing about who inspires you. And like, he's like, my dad.
Oh,
and I'm like, geez. Oh, that's awesome. And then like, there's like, why? And then like, whole why was basically him repeating my speech about time. Like, you know, he goes, the biggest lie people tell themselves is that there's no time. And like, if I don't want to do something, I should just be honest with myself. Like the whole thing, like kind of like the Cliff Notes version of my stump speech.
Don't you love it when that happens?
Well, that was the first time that ever happened. So I'm like speechless, and it takes a lot to get me speechless, but like, so I'm speechless and I'm there, and I'm like, holy crap. Like, hopefully I can say holy crap, but
you're safe. You're safe.
But I'm
well,
like,
we'll edit that part out. I'm just kidding.
So I'm reading it, and I'm like, I'm proud. I'm tearing up. I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm just so shocked. So I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my friend, and I'm like, holy, because he has two older kids and then like three kind of like teenagers now. And I'm like, holy crap, they actually do listen. Like, you know, and I don't know, that warms my heart. You know, I took a picture of the thing, and I still have the picture of that paper. But that to me was an extremely heartwarming moment.
That's awesome. That's so nice and refreshing to hear. Like, it's those little daddy wins. They don't happen all the time, right? I mean, it's not like every day he comes home with writing some, you know, how proud he was that he learned this and in the lecture, that what you taught him. But when those moments do happen, man, just soak those things in, because those are priceless for sure.
Awesome. Yeah, that was the first one. So hopefully there'll be another.
That's kind of a huge one. And I think that's one that, I mean, you know, when we talk to dads, one of the biggest problems is time, right? Where do you find time to do everything, to provide, to be there, to play with the family, to teach your family, to do everything, is to find that time. And it's like, oh, I just don't have time. And I find myself saying that, you know, on occasion too, just like, oh, dude, I don't have time for this. Like, there's just no time. And it can get busy, but you know, it comes down to setting the priorities. And if it's a high priority, there is time, right? And,
oh, absolutely.
And your kids should be that high priority. And there is time.
And like, yeah, I'm not going to say that I'm a saint about it, but like, you know, I catch myself scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm like, is this really what I want to be doing? Like, you know, since I moved where the Xbox was, I haven't had a chance to like plug it back in, but I mean, that's a good example. Like, you know, can't really do that, you know? And it's not like it's a sacrifice. I mean, in the cosmic scheme of things, I'd rather spend time with my kids and, you know, be with them and kind of grow with them. Because I also start seeing that the older one will go off to his friend's house and play, and it's kind of weird not having him around. It's kind of like, it's kind of like, I'm kind of sad that he's not here.
How old is your oldest again?
Nine and a half.
Nine and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know teenagers are coming.
Yeah, they are. My oldest is 14. And two oldest are boys and they're 14. The other one will be 13 this Sunday. So 14 and 13 and wow. A couple teenagers. And they both just got braces. Cha-ching! And two at one, two. And I wish it was a 2-for-1, but no, there's no discount, which I was not very happy about. I was like, come on, where's the family deal here? But it evolves and fatherhood evolves as your kids get older and you get into those teenage years. So maintaining that communication though, and keeping them around and putting away those little things and connecting with them.
Right.
So it's priceless. It's so much more valuable than wasting your time scrolling Facebook or playing video games or whatever else. And there can be a lot of different things, you know?
Right. And it's one of those things where if you do it, but do it in like set amounts, you know, like time it, you know, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes to just veg out on Facebook, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you don't feel kind of deprived. I don't know if that makes
right.
sense.
No, yeah. Take care of yourself. Right.
Right.
You got to make sure you got to put that. We talked about our last episode. You got to put the air mask on yourself first before you can put it on somebody else. And that, I mean, goes for all the way around, whether that's your physical health, mental health, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So now so your oldest is 9.5. So 9.5 years of being a father. I'm sure you've learned a ton and come a long way and there's still a long way to go and morph and grow. But if you could go back, I mean, maintaining the knowledge that you have today, I mean,
right.
through, you know, your 2001 experience, being a father, and learning what you have learned, you take that knowledge you have today and you can go back 9.5 years and start this all over. What's something that you would change about being a father to a brand new, your very first child and going through that? And what's something that you would definitely keep the same, not change?
I would change for sure. Being someone who has been very career driven. I had a job. So I live in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And folks in the DC area will know I had a job in Northern Virginia, which means automatically being away from the house minimum 10 hours a day, sometimes 13 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I would see my kids for, my one child in the morning for like half an hour. And then by the time I get home, it'd be like 8, 9 o'clock, and I'd see him for another half an hour. And that's assuming just an 8-hour day. And as a consultant, that rarely happens. So
right.
I didn't realize until we had our second child how much of the babiness I missed because I was in the car. You know, that is something I would undo. Because gotcha. By the time my second one was born, I worked at a company that had paternity leave.
Oh, nice.
So nice. I got to hang out with him and stuff like that. And we ended up waiting till he was about 6 months old to do it. So, and in the craziness of that was, we were in the middle of doing a home renovation project, long story, but like he would hang out with me and I take him like Home Depot, like all the time,
yeah.
You know? So like, and I had one of the pictures I found, I was wasting my time scrolling through Facebook the other day. I saw a picture of him. He's like in a little onesie, like in the cart, like looking at, has that look of, oh, not this place again. he must have been about 8 months old, I think, at the time. But I mean, just having that ability, I really wish I had done that with my older son. A lot of the things I've been listening to a lot of the shows, and apparently I felt better that I wasn't the only one that kind of regrets that. Because as men, we're trained to be the providers, right? Now, whether that's biological or socialized, that's for the other academics to kind of debate, but I mean, we're trained for that, right?
Absolutely.
But you also don't want to miss out on any of these moments that you kind of have to be around. Now, historically, you know, people wouldn't be away for that long. It's only kind of in the office culture that's kind of developed over the last 100 or so years that's been the case.
Right.
Now I'm in a position where I largely work from home,
nice.
Which has been key. So, you know, and trust me, they get a lot more time out of me that way. Right. I mean, first off, the time I'm not spending in the car And, you know, I'll routinely, once they go to bed, I'll get back online, check emails and stuff like that. Whether or not I should is, again, a debate for another day. But you know, when they're awake, I'm with them as much as I can be. I do have to travel from time to time, but, you know, if I'm there when, you know, like in summer camp, my older one is in summer camp, and like he's in, like, he loves the science camps and stuff like that. So what they'll do, they'll build something and then they'll show it off on the Friday. So like I've been able to go last 2 years, actually 3 years now, to every one of those. I think I missed one because I had a
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know, just having that is just nice.
Absolutely. No, that sounds fantastic. I, you know, being a chiropractor, I've, you know, at this point in my career anyway, I've got to be at work. And number one, hats off to you for being able to work from home. Cause anytime I try to work from home, do anything,
yep,
it just doesn't happen. Like, I mean, it's interruption after interruption. I can't get into any kind of a flow. I'm just like, yeah, forget this. I'm out. We're not doing this. So hats off to you for that. But two, I mean, and yeah, I, you know, there's certain hours where I have to be down at the office and,
right,
you know, there's no real way around that. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So what's something you would keep the same?
Oh, keep the same? Everything else. I mean, like I don't have any regrets about it other than that. I mean, he's been awesome, you know, and they've both been awesome. And I'll never forget when I talked to my mom. Because I was a scared new dad and new parent. And I said to her, I was like, well, when does that, like, just undying fear go away? And she looked at me, laughed, and said, I don't know. How old are you? I said, I'm 30, you know, something. She goes, well, so far it's still going.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, everything else has just been awesome. He's been a real sweet kid and good kid, smart kid. You know, he's a trip. And the other one is very similar to him, the younger one.
Uh-huh.
And but he's a completely different personality. The younger one's a lot more outgoing.
Yeah.
And when he enters a room, it's like he's running for mayor. Like he'll like we go into like Panera Bread and he's like, hey, what's up? Hey, you, hey. You know? And you know, the older one is like hiding behind me or mom. It's like,
what's the age difference?
5 years. Almost 5 years. To the day, actually. One day
okay.
shy.
Yeah. Okay.
So both their birthdays are about a week off from Christmas.
Okay. In December though?
In December.
Yeah, you scored, man. You get the tax write off on those.
Oh yeah. The consequence though is that like basically, and this is cool too. So I've always, you know, since the younger one's been born. So about 5 years, going on 5 years now, I've always had that, you know, the ability to just take 2 weeks off in December. Like basically the last 2 weeks of December, just complete blowout. Cool. It's like an absolute rave, chaos, nonstop birthdays, Christmas, and it's just madness. So I don't even try to schedule anything during that time.
Yeah, no, that sounds crazy, actually.
It is. It's the whole year compressed into 2 weeks. It's just like... It's a good thing, like, everybody else is kind of off and things are kind of slow, because otherwise I don't think I could manage it.
Right? That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it here. And Frank, we appreciate the heck out of you and for sharing your experiences. And, man, I'm telling you, so many of the things you said, you know, while I didn't have the exact experiences, you know, of going through the 9/11 experience and all of that, there are other experiences that I have had that have created some form of PTSD that,
right,
you know, over time have made me who I am and made me a better. And to be able to, you know, look at those challenges and flip those into blessings that go on in your lives, and to be a father and use those and do everything you're doing for your kids. All I can say is keep doing what you're doing. And we appreciate you sharing all these stories with us.
Thanks, man.
And all you rad dads out there, we've got our 30-day rad dad challenge that's going to be coming out real soon. So keep your eyes peeled. You'll be seeing some ads here pretty soon from us, and we want you guys to join us. And it's one free. Challenge a day. It's free.
Completely free.
And it's one small challenge a day to do something with your kids, and they are fun, and they're going to get you thinking, and it's going to be a great time. So until next time, Rad Dads, remember, we are rad by choice.
And not by chance. See you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Rad Dad Secrets podcast. Subscribe now to never miss another episode or opportunity to become a better father, husband, and man. Also, be sure to join our Totally Rad Dads private Facebook group for constant support and tips on being the best dad possible. If you haven't yet, please leave us a review. It helps us immensely on iTunes. And remember, we are Rad Dads by choice, not by chance.